The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
Hello! Welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
I'm Lynn Ozawi. Jules, Dope Village, we have a first on the podcast. A sailor.
I think there needs to be some like cool noise or siren or something when we have a first in a sport on, Lynn. What
okay. Do you think? I love that idea.
What should it be?
Yeah, maybe like a idea? Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew. Our first sailor guest is Cole Brower. And y'all might have heard of her because she's been everywhere on everything, because she is the first American woman to race solo, as in nonstop and unassisted, around the world. Shall I repeat that? By herself and around the world.
Yeah, so Cole raced in the Global Solo Challenge, which she started last October. And after 130 days at sea, she finished on March 7th. And this is what's really interesting, or one of the many things that's interesting, is that throughout the race, Cole documented her day-to-day on Instagram, and she ended up gaining 500,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, beware. Go check it out. It's addicting. And what's amazing, as we talk about, is that her Instagram gave us this incredible glimpse into what she encountered. And it's not just obviously the highs, but the lows. She spent many holidays at sea. She had solo dance parties, as you'll hear. And what we loved is Cole clearly took the sailing world to a bit of an uncomfortable space. It was definitely outside of their comfort zone, which we are so here for. And we're also here for this conversation. So get comfortable listening. It's Cole Brower. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking and laughing combined. Feeling all right, get comfortable listening. It's Laughter Permitted.
You are such a rock star for doing this. I like slid into your DMs. That's so like a 20s thing to do. And I'm in my 50s, so I never slide into people's DMs. I was like, I'm just going to slide into her DMs, see if she responds.
Oh my God. I've been going through my DMs because it's madness. Like, it madness. And I saw you pop up and I was like, this one's a good one, because I've been like CBS slid into my DMs, like CBS. And I was just like, I'll get back to them later. You know, like I can't do this right now. So I saw you and I was like, okay, I want this one. So
yay.
That might
thank
be the
you.
Biggest compliment anyone's ever paid to yeah. Julie. That's saying something.
I was like, boom. Yes. I mean, seriously, look at all the stuff you have done. Today Show, NBC News, I mean, CNN, like the hits just keep coming. I was like, the woman has no time to even breathe or think.
No, it's been madness. It's been absolutely insane. I am fully overwhelmed. I have been trying to get to my emails because now I'm starting to get like the angry emails, the ones that are like, we've emailed you for weeks. And I'm like, yes, I have not answered any of them. Like, don't worry, I'm not answering anybody.
Only Julie's. Thank you very
I
much.
Know. Well, I saw it pop up and I was like, I haven't done a podcast yet. And I was like, and I love you.
Oh,
And
cool.
so I was like, okay, like, this will be fun. This will be great. I should do this. Like, this will actually be fun.
Well, fun is sort of our middle name, fun and joy. So we're here for you.
Yay.
I cannot tell you how many people in our little dope village of listeners were like, when is Cole coming on? And I was thinking, I'm trying. We just have to let her hit land and then celebrate a little. And then I'm going to harass her.
No, that's good. So, that's good. I mean, the more messages you send, the more likely that I'm going to get them because we have been, I mean, I've had so many people that are like, I've emailed you 16 times. And I'm like, yeah. I know, I see it. Don't worry. It pops up on my phone. I just turn the phone off and put it away because I'm absolutely terrified of what's happening.
You're going to have to get it now beyond your team of all those amazing people that were around you for the sailing, for the race. You're going to have a team of media people now. So
yes,
good luck.
100%. Thank you. Thank you.
And yeah, good luck.
We're trying.
We media are very aggressive.
No. Well, maybe I love it because I'm not.
We can put a PSA out there. Give Cole a break. Cole needs a breath.
I've been writing like, thank you everyone for your patience. Like, thank you so much. Please forgive me. Like, there's just no way to keep up with all this stuff.
That's so cool. Look what you created. That's amazing. We're gonna talk about that. Cole, the first thing we always do is we set the scene. So where you're at, how you're doing.
Yeah, so I got up to Maine a couple days ago. I didn't really tell anyone. I haven't posted anything because I kind of wanted a few days to just like debrief and hang out with my mom and go to like her little yoga classes up here in Booth Bay Harbor and just like enjoy the moment. But I'm up in Maine right now with the family and like my family are not sailors. So it's kind of nice. Like we don't do a lot of talking about sailing. It's, you know, you show up and it's like, I do yoga. I eat lots and lots of food and I hang out with, you know, with my parents. So it's pretty chill.
Aww. Oh my God. They must be so proud of what you just did.
Yeah. I think my parents, because they're not sailors, they really came into my career quite late. And so they're just now starting to understand kind of the extent or kind of what I did. Probably in the beginning of this race of the Global Solo Challenge, where they actually like, oh, wait, this is a thing. Like, you're not, like, this is actually your real job. And I was like, yeah, it's been my real job for like 10 years, but, you know, we'll let that one go. I think they assumed I would just go back to school and be like a real adult and become a lawyer or doctor, you know, something that like makes really good money. And I just don't know if that's ever going to be me.
Right. So to set the scene for our listeners, can you walk us through what the Global Solo Challenge was?
Yeah. So the Global Solo Challenge is a solo, nonstop, unassisted race around the world. And it starts in the northwest side of Spain in a place called A Coruña. And then you go south from A Coruña down the west side of Africa. You round Cape of Good Hope, which is in South Africa. You keep going straight until the southern side of Australia, still nonstop. And then you eventually go through the Pacific Ocean, and then you round Cape Horn, the infamous Cape Horn. And then you start going back north on then the east side of South America, and you finish again in A Coruña. So it's about 27,000 miles, give or take. And a lot of people were doing it on boats, sizes ranging from about 38 feet in up to 65 feet. So there was quite a range of boats and I was right in the middle. I had a 40-foot racing boat.
Oh my gosh.
And how many people did the challenge?
So there was 40 people that signed up. There was 16 that crossed the starting line. And so far, there will probably be six that will finish.
Are people still doing it?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. There's four people that have finished. I got second place. And there was a guy who finished this week, actually. And then there's a couple guys still out there. There's two more guys still out there.
I feel like a slow clap is in order. Are you feeling that, Julie?
Slow clap. When literally Lynn, it wasn't on Instagram, so I'm going to fill her in. Any of our listeners, if you haven't been to the Instagram, Cole Brower Ocean Racing, right? Is that what it's under?
Yep.
Cole, right?
Yep.
Cole Brower, yes. Ocean Racing. But she had this tracker and she would like pick them off, like, you know, where they were. And I'd be like, yes!
Yeah!
When you pass them, do you like wave and be like, see ya? Or do you see them? Like, how close are you? Because on the tracker, it looks like they're pretty close.
They are. So I never saw anyone. Anyone.
I thought no, you'd be like, hey.
I mean, like, as the tracker's passing, I used to send like almost a like, I'm not a religious person or really a spiritual person either, but I would send like almost like a blessing of like, you know, like, thank you for letting me, you know, be here and, you know, good luck to you. It's almost like and so I would do it like almost like praying to Mecca, you know, you point towards them and you say, aww, you know, thank you. And, you know, because there's so many things that can go wrong in the ocean that you always want to send out like super like positive vibes, because you're like, if I send out a negative vibe, something is going to come and bite me. Like, I don't know what
so
it is.
So a little different than I was just doing, like celebrating their demise.
I only had like, of course, like I'm still a competitive human. In the beginning of the race, because we were so close to each other, it was a little stressful because I'm like, being the only woman that competed, I didn't really want to make a mistake, because a lot of, you know, women do not get second chances and a lot of things that they do pretty much in any industry. It's like, you have one chance to make it right. Or you're kind of like, people are like, well, I don't know why they sponsored you in the first place, you know, whatever negativity.
Right.
And so I was like very nervous. And so I was much more like tense and like, oh man, like I've got to beat the boys. I have to do something. I have to keep fighting. Yeah. And then once I started passing them, I was like, this is going to sound terrible, but I was like, maybe I should be nice to these guys, because it kind of feels like I'm beating up on them a little bit. I think in the beginning, I didn't understand that I had all of the necessary tools to do really well. Like, I knew I could probably do well, but I was like, even on the dock, I was like, oh, that guy's going to beat me. You know, you're like thinking about like, oh, he's got this and that, and like, he's older than me and he's done this or whatever. And then when I actually got out there and got in tune with the boat, I was like, oh no, I've got this. Maybe I should be nice to, you know, to these people.
You should always be nice to people. But when you pass you can also be like, hey!
Well, it's like, of course, I'm still like a competitive human being. And I'm still like my whole family, my aunt would be like, go get the boys, get them, you know? And I'd be like, yes, I know, I'm working on it. Like, give me a second. There's still like 300 miles in front of me.
The other thing that was so fascinating is, you know, we'll get into this a little bit more, but just all that you shared through your Instagram and the videos and the diaries. And so,
yeah,
I loved hearing the what you were doing and how hard it was. But I also want to know the why. Like, why did you want to do this? What deep down inside of you so badly wanted to do this? Because as you were just saying, you know, it's all these guys. It's really hard. It's months alone at sea. It's dangerous.
Yeah. The practical reason, like the logical reason for me, was that in the sailing industry, it's super male dominated. And there is what I call like the pay cap for women. And so like for professional, you know, athletes, for men, at least in the sailing world, there's like no pay cap. Like, they can just keep asking for more and more and more money. And if like, if people want to pay for it, people pay for it. But there's almost like this thing of where women are, you know, you hit this level, and I had hit it pretty young, like 27, I'd hit like the highest. And then I would start asking for more money. And, you know, these guys that I was working for were like, well, you don't need it. You're really tiny. You don't eat that much. Or like, you're a woman, you know, so you don't have a family to take care of. Yeah. Like the craziest shit. Even my mom, she was like, I don't understand. Like, why are you getting paid so much less than the boys in the same position, especially if they're actually younger than you? And I was like, Mom, because I have to do something that's a little crazy. And I already wanted to go around the world, and I had been denied so many times for all these tryouts. And I was like, Mom, I think the truth of the matter is I have to do this alone. I think that's the way to kind of show the world that a 5'2", 100-pound girl can do anything, if not do it better than the boys, is I have to go and I have to do it alone. Because if I do it with another person, they're going to be like, well, you know, she did it with this person or that person and this person helped her or whatever. Like I wanted to show the whole entire world that like, you don't have to be, you know, manly and masculine in this industry to actually get respect. I think I actually might have done it. I think I might have actually like changed a couple of these. So. The old guard were like, well, we can't let her in because she's going to hurt herself, you know, or what, right. You know, that crazy right. old guard ideal. So that was definitely one of the reasons for sure.
And that the other just reason got was me like emotional, by the way. I was like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a story we hear over and over and over in women's sports. And to hear that it's also in sailing and how you're really becoming a voice for it.
Yeah. Oh, I and just how, feel like you had been rejected before. I had read that. And how frustrating that must have been for you. And you were like, I got it. This is the only way I can do it is to show them on my own.
Ugh. Well, it was, that rejection was like the cherry on top. Like I actually work really well with rejection. I don't know why I do, but it's like, if you want me to push even harder, it's like, give me,
tell me
a
no.
negative comment, give me like something to fight for. And so I think that was definitely one of the reasons why. And then I also wanted people, I wanted people to look up and say, like the little girls who say, like in the sailing world, that have their little opties and they're like, no, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to drive the boat. You know, I just want to sit on the boat and have the boys drive. And I used to be a sailing coach, and, you know, the little girls would kind of go and they'd be like, I want to go sailing. And then the boys would kind of like shove them over. And I'd be like, no, like just because she's timid and a little bit more like reserved doesn't mean that she's not talented. I think that affects that little girl's brain chemistry for the rest of her life. Because now she's like, if she goes to try to pick up a drill and some guy comes out and goes, no, 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 that's dangerous for you, and takes the drill out of her hand. You know, now she's doesn't want to do DIY projects. It happens all the time. And I wanted to just show, you know, you can be feminine, you can get your nails done and, you know, and then still go play in the mud. Like you can do anything and be 5'2" and 100 pounds.
What's so remarkable is that you literally did show what you were doing thanks to your Instagram feed. How did that even start? Was it just for you in the beginning?
Yeah, like it's, we turned my personal Instagram into the CBOR Instagram.
Cole Brower Ocean Racing, CBOR, Cole Brower Ocean Racing. Yes.
Yes. We did not think in a bazillion years that it would get to this. Like I said, when I was talking with my media team, I was like, you know what would be super crazy? I was like, if we could make like the New York Times in like 10 years, like that would be sick. And, my whole team, and we know the guy who wrote the New York Times article. So I was like, maybe we can ask Chris, like maybe we could beg him to post about us, you know, because he's also a sailor, you know? And then of course now it's like, looking back, I'm like, wow, that was a crazy tiny goal on like what actually happened. But, so the beginning part of the media was like, I just wanted a website. I wanted the Instagram to be someplace that people could come and go, but we were not going to post every day. Like I did not sign up for posting every day. And then Lydia, my media manager, she was like, we should do a 24-hour recap. So I did one 24-hour recap. And then the next day she was like, I think we should do another 24-hour recap. I was like, I texted her and I was like, wait, are we going to post every day? Like, this sounds bad. Like, this sounds like we're doing something that could harm us more, you know, like followers would get bored or irritated of seeing my face every day. And it was the complete opposite. Like, yeah, absolutely the complete opposite. I really thought followers would have hated to have so much influx of like my face. And if my face wasn't in a post, people would ask me if I was okay. Like, are you dead? Like, are you okay? If my photo, my face. So it was said, we kind of organically went into the social media thing. And it seemed to have kind of worked out.
I think it resonated too, because one, you showed all these different aspects of it as well. Like, I was completely fascinated by all the stuff you had to fix and do, and your terminology with stuff. And I was like, what does that mean? And so I would like rewatch them, honestly. And then like just dealing with all the sales. I mean, when you were 90 degrees that one time and fixing things at 90 degrees, I was like, oh my God. So it was all the variants of emotion too. I mean, the highs, the lows you talked about. I mean, when you got thrown across the boat, when you were angry, when you were crying, I mean, all those things was fascinating to me as well. And that you hit on all of it. It wasn't all just, oh, this is rainbows and unicorns and gorgeous sunsets and sunrises. It's freaking hard.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
I think it was, and it took me a little while to actually, I think, show the emotion, because, you know, of course you're like, well, are people going to say negative things, you know, about what I'm doing? And like, I actually did not get really any negative comments, which I think is what made me open up even more, was that the people were very, very positive with me. And if anyone did say anything negative, it was like the mama bears and papa bears would pop out of nowhere and just like chew them alive. And I didn't have to say anything.
You got the you should be in the kitchen cooking. Go make me a sandwich, wench. Did you get that?
Yeah. Please tell me. Oh my God. Some of the stuff I was like, I mean, it's nothing that I haven't heard like in person before. So it wasn't like that crazy to me. And I kind of like the weirdest comments I would screenshot and send to our group chat with the whole team. And my whole team is like, the majority of my team are women. And like, they would just be like, oh my gosh, like what do these people think? Like, and I'm like, don't worry. My followers, when they get wind of this, will destroy these people.
Yeah, I love it.
And they did. Oh my God, they were brutal. Like, don't mess with Liz from Oklahoma. Like, she will tear you apart. Like,
it's so good.
Cole, one of the things you said already is how you realized there was a point where you were going to have to do this journey solo. And you were solo for 130 days.
Mm. Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was the best experience of my life. I do spend a good amount of my days alone. I live out of a van, usually by myself. So I'm very used to being alone. And also when I'm offshore working, it's like you go offshore for like a week and even if you're not alone, you do opposite shifts. And so you really never see the other person. If you're only sailing with two people, it's like when you're awake, they're asleep and vice versa. So you would spend like a whole week really not seeing anybody. And then you get to shore, you're on shore for a couple of days to provision and get back in, and then I jump onto the next gig and go. And so it wasn't nearly as crazy, especially with Starlink. I mean, this was the first time, I really believe this was the first time that Starlink had gone around the world, and especially gone around the world on a sailboat. And so having this much technology did not make me feel alone at all. I FaceTime my mother every morning, and I would just put her on my iPad like this, and then I would be editing a video or something, and we would just be sitting like quietly, just like in each other's presence. And I think that if I had done this, you know, years ago, I think it would have been a lot harder. Like the people who had done this before all the technology, I feel for them. And years ago, it used to take like 2 years to go around the world because the boats were so slow. Like now 4 months is a blink of an eye, absolute blink of the eye.
I know, that is, when you think about it, that is crazy to go around 30,000 miles, the entire world is only 4 months that on your own.
Yeah. And okay. I mean, people are doing it now. They're doing it now in like, while I was racing, there was a boat that was a foiling trimaran, like 100-foot foiling trimaran, who was averaging like 30 to 35 knots. I was averaging 9 knots. And he made it around the world in like, I don't know, 35, 40 days or something, and broke the record.
Wow.
That's an entire, you're like, that's it. And he did it solo too. And so, it's the, people are definitely pushing the boundaries on speed on sailboats nowadays. I liked the 4 months. I thought it was the perfect amount of time. I think that if I had done it just slightly faster, I would have ran out of snacks less. Like I did not have any snacks left, like at all. And like that
I was just going to say, what the hell do you eat for 4 months? How do you pack for that? And can you cook? Like, what can you prepare?
No. So it's all astronaut food. It's like, it's all astronaut food. It's all freeze dried. I'd paid extra. There's a company in Texas called Packet Gourmet, and their food is extra healthy. It has like low sodium, and it's like the perfect amount of calories, nutrients, proteins that you need. And so when I got off the boat, I didn't look like hell. Like I looked great. Like I didn't look like I had gone around the world. And that was the goal. The goal was to make it look obscenely easy. That was the goal. Like I wanted to arrive and look good, like showered as if I had never left,
put together, makeup on,
nails done. Like I wanted to look like it was easy, because of the same thing that I said earlier about like women don't get second chances. And if I can show that all these guys who show up and they look like hell, you know, they've got beards down to here and their hair is scraggly and whatnot, like, and they're like, that was hell, and the Southern Ocean is like dangerous, and Poseidon came up and attacked me, and I'm just like, I wanted to arrive and be like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, it wasn't bad.
Oh my god. And then you're on your bow with the you call it the bow, you're on your bow with the torches,
the stern, but that's okay, you're stern.
thank you you're on your stern with your torches. I was like, that is the raddest shot ever. It was very Titanic-esque. Except that you don't sink.
Well, it's so funny because like when we do all of our training, because I have to do an immense amount of like medical and safety training. I have to do an insane amount of training. But every time you light a flare, you only light one flare, you know, like, and so I have never trained to light two flares at the same time. And so I'm standing on the stern of the boat with all the cameras on me. And now I'm like, and with these gloves that are made for like big welder, you know, they're the biggest welding gloves because you'll burn your hands right off if you're holding a flare. And so I'm like, I have these things on and there's no dexterity. I'm like, wait, how did I light both of these? Like, I've never trained for this. This is going to go. And I'm like, if I burn the boat down, like on the finish line,
on just the
like,
last leg.
I mean, the whole boat is plastic, you know, like it would just burn up into flames. Like, you know.
Oh, gosh.
So I was like, nobody trains you to do this until you're in this moment. God, so it ended up working out great. The photos were fabulous.
You know, what was so interesting in looking at all of your Instagram posts is how much emphasis you had on self-care, where in a way you were able to cross the finish line strong, and you did things like had solo dance parties, and you had a Christmas gift to open on Christmas Eve. There's so much thoughtfulness that went into the journey so that it wasn't just the hard and the hardships. There was actual joy in it.
Yeah. There was it was actually there was two people that had gone, like, that were my mentors that had gone around the world. One was a guy and one was a woman. And, you know, I asked them, like, you know, what was something that you guys always wanted to spend a little bit more time doing when you're offshore? And they said, well, you can't forget about the holidays, you know, like, alone, you have to be. And I don't celebrate the holidays most of the time because I'm always working, like, on the holidays. So I've never actually celebrated the holidays like this. Mm. And I was like, oh, this will be fun. Like, I'll make sure that I have, because I was going to miss Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Valentine's Day. So I knew I was going to miss, like, a bunch of these, you know, important holidays and be by myself. And so I went around and, you know, kind of found these little things while I was in Spain, and, you know, Christmas decorations and Halloween decorations. And it actually was really nice because on those actual days, like Halloween, Christmas, or whatnot, I would spend kind of decorating or painting, yeah. You know, and I think it was actually really nice for, like, the whole mental side of things. And then, like, making the posts, like making the actual Instagram reels was wonderful. What I would do is that I would find music that I liked, and then I would have taken pictures the day before or the day of, and then I would match up the videos with the music. And that was actually super fun for me. And I would watch the videos as if I was watching, like, somebody else. And so it's like watching a movie, you know, and you're just, like, editing, and you're like, and it just didn't feel like it was me. That was, like, I felt like I was almost watching, like, this other person do these things. And so it was like the Wilson idea of, like, you know, that the movie Castaway so, like, my phone and, like, that whole editing and everything was like Wilson. Like, I'd kind of talk to the phone and be like, oh no, that looks terrible, oh god, I look weird, you know, or whatnot. And it was a fun thing to kind of keep me busy, or to think about, okay, where is my creative process taking me today? Like, am I doing a video where I talk into the camera today? Or, like, should I do a dance video? And the dance videos, like, I was very afraid to post the dance videos because I had posted one once before the start of the race. And, like, the rest of the world loved it. And the sailing community was like, how dare you post a video of you in your sports bra? And I was like, wait, what? Like, but my sports bra? Like, it's like this granny style sports bra. There's no cleavage. There's no, I was like, that is risque to, you know, because the sailing world stuck in the 1970s. So they were like, how dare you?
I hear a lot of glass breaking in this story. Breaking some glass ceilings.
Much needed. Well, much needed glass breaking.
Oh, well, we have to. I mean, it's trying to make some of these people a little uncomfortable so they can get used to being comfortable in the uncomfortable. I mean, it's crazy to me. The first dance video I made, I was not nervous about posting it at all, but I did send it to the women in my team, not the men. And so maybe subconsciously I still knew, like, and I sent it to them, like, what do you think? And all they wrote back was, you look hot. And I was like, okay, post.
She's rad.
Yeah, like, she's like, that. You look,
I mean, think of what you've done for the sailing world, though. Like, the strides and the people and the eyeballs and all these things that were so needed and so long overdue, you've brought to the sailing world.
Well, exactly. It's such a community that's really stuck in, like, tradition. Like, I've been kicked out of a yacht club because they didn't allow women. And I wanted to go sailing and I just went anyway. And they called my boyfriend at the time and were like, yeah, she's banned from the yacht club. And I was like,
how dare her sail?
How dare her use our facility to go sailing? Yeah. I was like, I didn't even use your toilet. Like, you don't have to get all, like, 1800s on me. Like, yeah.
Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly,
We've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com.
So you spent so much time on the ocean and the sea, and I can't even imagine the perspective you gained. What is something you'd want to share with us? This is a question that I asked astronaut Nicole Mann. We interviewed her last year while she was in space.
Ah, that's so cool.
And in thinking about talking with you, it reminded me of that, as far as she had such a unique perspective on our planet at that time. And then through your experience, you had such a unique perspective. What is something you would share with all of us to consider?
It's so interesting because when I first started studying for this race, you know, studying the weather patterns, we went through like a 10-year analysis to kind of find out exactly what the gradient winds are going to be. Gradient means, you know, like the prevailing winds. And so throughout the entire world, because of the rotation of the Earth, you have these winds in these different latitudes, and they have been this way for billions of years because of the rotation of the Earth. And very recently, because of what we're doing to the planet and global warming, these prevailing winds are starting to act differently. And it's incredibly noticeable. Yeah. Oh, and wow. I didn't think that I would be able to see it so clearly, but I saw it in the Southern Ocean really, really clearly. We used to do these races. We always like to go around the world. You start races in like October, right? So that you, and all of this is scheduled. We start these races particular because there's a specific season when you need to be out of the Southern Ocean. Like you have to be rounded Cape Horn and out going back up north where it's safe to be in the Southern Ocean because of the winds and the waves. And there becomes a point where the season starts to close and it gets much more dangerous to be in this area. And as I was sailing, and I was in second place, so I was pretty far ahead of the rest of the fleet. And as I got into the Pacific Ocean, and everyone had been telling me for so long, this will be your favorite ocean, it's really amazing. All of a sudden there was these crazy storms that were bringing like 80 mile an hour wind centers. And that means that the outside centers are like 60 knots.
Wow.
And then they're always like, as it gets closer to you, it always picks up power and speed from the water and actually create and can get up to almost 100 mile an hour like winds. I thought it was so insane because it was like the last 2 weeks before I got around the horn, I had to do huge avoidances to get around these storms, like 200 miles dead up north just to get away because this storm had like kind of shifted in front of me, picked up speed and then stalled. So it stopped moving and it was just like developing this crazy center that was blowing like 85 mile an hour winds. And there's nothing you can do about that. And it was so big that like to get out of the way, you had to kind of do this crazy thing. And I had to do two huge avoidances those last 2 weeks. And I called my weather router. And I was like, what are we doing? Like everything had been okay. Like it'd been fairly consistent. Like, of course it's crazy, but easy to avoid and not so off the beaten path to avoid like going dead up north in the Southern Ocean to try to get into a warmer area and stay away from the colder mixing that was happening near Antarctica. And she was like, well, the problem is that now that with global warming, you're getting these, you know, ice melts, right? So there's a lot more water that's in the water And all of this is affecting the storms that are happening. And then the systems, like these low pressure systems, are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more powerful. And we only see it when it actually hits land. Like, we don't really care when it's out in the middle of the Atlantic or out in the middle of the Pacific. We just don't care because it's not actually landing on land and destroying homes and causing infrastructure damage and stuff. We just don't care. But when you are a 40-foot racing boat, you see it and you're in it. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And the season is now getting, like, the safety season is getting a lot shorter. And so, sorry, that's my long-winded talk about it. But it was really clear for me to actually see it. And I think these changes have just started coming about within the last actually couple of years. Like these really, really big changes where we'd kind of been seeing it, but we weren't so bad. But now it's actually, it's here. It's global warming is here. And it's something that we really, really need to deal with. Like now.
Yeah. It's interesting because Nicole had a similar response, right?
Really? Lynn,
of saying like she realized like how small and precious that there's this small ozone layer that keeps us safe, and how small and precious our planet is, and that we need to take care of it. And that and that's similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, like it's right now. And I think that, like, and the problem is that I think in the media, there's so much fear about it. And instead, like, the actual being able to change what we're doing right now is actually not ridiculously difficult. You know, it's not ridiculously difficult to do and to actually change our mindsets, like riding your bike instead of getting in the car for the day, like instead of getting on, you know, an airplane to go see the family, maybe you just spend time at home. You know, it's like these, and I know that doesn't, that's not super fun, but it's like the shifts are so tiny. They're so, so small.
I only have about 10,000 more questions, but to be respectful of your time.
No worries.
So fascinating. I have to tell you, your solo dance videos were my favorite.
Really?
100%. 100%. Oh. I have a sign in my kitchen that says, "This kitchen is for dancing," and it's a lot of solo dance parties. So in honor of that, we are going to play a game that is all about music.
Oh my God.
But before I get into that, let me tell you what you're about to your latest endeavor here.
Okay.
Cool. You're about to go head to head with Julie in a game of trivia.
God.
Every game has a different theme. The theme of this game is Who Sings It? And it's in honor of your solo dance parties. It's all multiple choice.
Okay, good.
A key element is when you think you know the answer at any point, you can chime in.
Okay.
What is your noisemaker for chiming in today?
It is lavender eyeliner and my face toner glass bottle.
Speaking of self-care.
Say we've never had that one. I love it. I need to spice up my noisemaker.
That British phone booth is back. So Cole, it's five questions, best of five wins.
Okay.
Again, the theme is Who Sings It? Question one. Who sings Girl on Fire? Is it
what?
Julie.
Alicia Keys.
Correct.
Oh my God.
This girl is on fire. Yes. 1-0, baby. I didn't even need multiple choice. Okay. Maybe I'm going to crush this. I have hope.
Question two. Who sings Just Dance? Is it A, Lady Gaga, B, Gwen Stefani, or C, The Beatles? Cole.
Gwen Stefani? Is it Gwen Stefani? No.
Incorrect.
No.
Julie.
Lady Gaga.
Correct.
No. It was a 50-50 chance. We all know the Beatles.
I know. The Beatles. Like, I was like, the Beatles? I'm not that.
It was at that point, bad. It was a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. Same.
So in a shocking turn of events, Julie is up 2-0, which never happens.
Never. Thank
so
you,
Julie
Cole.
Could win on this question.
I mean,
Cole.
She can't win everything, Cole.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, question three. Who sings Party in the USA? Is Cole.
Brian Sellers.
Yes. Back in it.
2-1. Okay.
Question four.
She didn't even need to
wait. Who sings Run the World? Is it A?
Beyonce.
Cole. Correct.
No! Beyonce. At the same time. You gave it to the guest. Okay, 2-2. You gave it to the guest to make it interesting. These are too easy. This one's going to be hard. I can tell.
Oh my God. Kay.
Question five for all the marbles. Who sings Shake It Off? Is Cole.
Taylor Swift.
Correct.
Oh my God.
The comeback of the century.
I think I buzzed in on the Beyonce.
There's no way you busted on the Beyonce. I 100% got that.
I was 2-0. I got overconfident. Oh my God, I got totally overconfident. I'm like, I'm going to crush.
I'm the comeback queen. I am Dang the comeback it. Queen.
Yeah, remember? You tell me no. You put me in 0-2.
Yeah, I work really hard. I need there to warm for up. It. I had to warm up. We should have done 2 at the beginning just to warm up. We had to warm up.
Two warm-up questions.
Well done, Cole. Champion of the Lynn game.
I'm literally sweating.
I got casual and complacent. It's my own damn fault. most pressing questions.
I love
Cole,
that.
Cole, a very pressing question. What is your favorite snack?
Oh my God, my favorite snack? Let me think of this. I'm still like, my adrenaline's still pumping. I pushed hard for
winning.
That. I pushed hard for that one. I hope you know. Like that did not come easy. I was like full brain work.
I'm so angry about this. So, I got it. Damn it.
You did. See, you got locked.
This
you
is
got
what happens
in.
When you retire. You get a little complacent.
I'm like clammy.
See, you're
right
like,
now.
In,
I'm
like you're like in your racing mode. You're locked in.
That is the coolest thing. Yeah, we got a glimpse as far as how you operate.
Yeah, you're like 0-2, no problem.
All right, let me think. Favorite snack? So I think cheese, definitely. Like if I was to snack on anything, I would have the most beautiful charcuterie board ever. Like I love a good charcuterie board with some rosé. Like literally anywhere, I could sit in the snow and
We could be BFFs for sure. Okay. Next most pressing question.
Yes.
All the quotes you had all over the boat behind you. I don't know. I never saw if you posted on this, but they were so rad. I would like try and zoom in and be like, what does that one say? The one that was big behind you that I could see was, I loved it. Basically said, you are your power.
The writing actually was individual comments and things that I had had people who were on the boat that were like part of my team, my family, that had written onto the boat, like little inspirational quotes and things. And so some of the quotes are really beautiful in the boat. And they're just like, we trust you, like, don't give up. Or like, there's some in the back of the boat. Like, and one of them is like, what you doing back here, Willis? And like, because I'm like not supposed to be in the back of the boat unless something really major is going wrong. Everywhere that I went in the boat, there was like little comments or notes or things. Like some of the notes I never even found until even I was on the dock and we were cleaning up the boat and I was like, oh, look, there's another one from friends and family.
Aww, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. That is really cool.
Yeah, it was cute.
All right. High, low cheer. The high of your career, the low of your career, and the cheer is for someone you're grateful for who's helped you along the way.
Okay. The high of my career off the coast of Uruguay, and almost no wind, which is crazy for a sailor to say. And the boat is just like barely gliding upwind, just like so gentle. There's no waves. You're just making these little baby ripples and just watching the sunset. And I was just playing music and stuff. And I was like, wow, I am so blessed to have this life. The low was, I think, getting denied from the ocean race, like that story that I had written. That was probably one of the biggest lows because, not because he had said no, but because I had actually had hope. I was there for 2 weeks for the tryout and I had felt like I was struggling, but I felt like I had done a, quite a good job to show that I could improve and I could be good for the team, even though I was so small. And that was probably one of the hardest moments of my career. Right.
Was that the moment that made you then do this solo challenge? You said one of the drivers.
Yeah. They had dropped me from the team October 29th of 2022. And I started the race October 29th of 2023. So it was from the start. And so like a lot had changed. And I had had a lot of growth that had happened.
Awesome. And then your cheer.
My little shout out. There are some amazing people that had put money towards the campaign. And one of the biggest supporters, like financially and emotionally, is a guy named FK Day. And he's very private. He didn't want to be involved. He was an angel investor is what we call them. Mm-hmm. So when you're sponsored, you have angel investors that are kind of behind the scenes. They don't want their name on the boat or anything. And now that the campaign is over, I can kind of talk about it a little bit more. He's just one of the most amazing, I won't even say man, I would say person.
I'm just so thrilled for you and all that you were able to do and these last 4 months and what you've accomplished there and that you answered my DM. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. How fun. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I could have just kept going mm-hmm. and going. I had so many questions.
I know.
It was very much like Nicole Mann. I was like, don't make me stop.
Yeah, it's so unique what she did. It's so out of what we probably know more about when it comes to sports as far as there's a ball and there are quarters and referees. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is so foreign in a way. Yeah, at the same time, commonalities that we heard as far as Cole's mindset. And actually, I'll jump into my takeaway, if that's all right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I bet this has to do with the takeaways as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I expressed this to you that I had a cheddar cheese moment after this interview where I'm not surprised by Cole's story of how hard...
Do you want to explain the cheddar cheese
moment? Yeah, and we actually talked about it in the episode with Kendall Coyne and Hillary Knight. Actually, you probably could explain it better.
Mm. So on the national team, we had a running joke when we would go through the buffet line of there were American craft cheese slices. And I would say every camp, like, hey, can we just get some cheddar cheese? And so, of course, every camp, we still had American craft cheese slices.
And no shade to craft. It's just having maybe another option.
Yeah. No. That's shade to craft. For sure shade. And literally was at a restaurant a couple days ago. And I'm like, okay, what kind of cheese do you want on that burger? I was like, cheddar. They're like, oh, we only have American. I was like, no, thanks then. So, and I was actually at dinner with Cindy Parlow and Christine Lilly and Shannon Box and the whole crew. And I was like, how many years? Because that would be, we would say, how many years till we can just get cheddar cheese slices? So that was our running joke. So, sorry, you had a cheddar cheese moment.
Yeah, and it's like the breaking point. It seems so small, but it is everything in a way. And mm-hmm. so after that episode, I was like, this is finally my cheddar cheese moment where it's stuck with me of mm-hmm. we have heard this story of women fighting over mm-hmm. and over and over and over again. And here it's in sailing. It doesn't surprise me that it's there. It just mm-hmm. was this tipping point for me internally. And something I expressed to you as well is it opened my eyes even more to how important it is we tell these stories. Mm-hmm. And to everyone who is listening right now, you are doing your part by listening and getting to know Cole and getting to know all of these incredible women That's me in my soapbox, dropping a mic and wanting the whole charcuterie board.
You quickly come to realize that even though they're different sports, it's the same story. Mm-hmm. Same story. And I know, how many years do we have to keep breaking that glass?
Right.
When do we have to stop doing all that to prove that we should be part of like, for example, like she said, I had to do this to prove like I shouldn't be getting rejected from these, you know, sailing positions I was trying out for. So she's something though. That's amazing. And the fact that she's like, any challenge I love, I'm a problem solver. She's like, roll up my sleeves, let's go. Mm-hmm. I loved her mentality. So what a treat. That was my takeaway as well. And I'm so glad that the Dope Village got to hear from Cole also. And you should, if you are not aware of what she did, you really should just go check out her Instagram and follow it because it's really cool.
I think this struck me as well because we had just talked with Kendall Coyne and Hillary Knight. I thought of Christine Sinclair from last year, talking with her and what she was experiencing and her teammates with soccer in Canada. Mm-hmm. Obviously the U.S. women's national team. So I wonder if anyone else out there may have felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I will jump to questions permitted. I am gonna stay in the theme of cheese, but I'm gonna lighten the mood a little bit. I'm bringing in this question myself because it's a Lynn Ozawi question. I emailed myself because I've been wondering this, and
dear diary.
So here's the email. Dear Lynn, cheese or ice cream? You can only choose one for the rest of your life. Love the podcast. Sincerely, Lynn.
Dear diary. Oh, God. I hate these one or the others. They're so hard.
It popped into my head. This one might be the hardest.
Oh, because I really love both those things. Oof. What are you taking?
Go ahead.
Do we get to choose the brand of ice cream? Because
it just means that
that's
though, if
very
you,
important.
If you choose ice cream, though, it means you're done with cheese for the rest of your life. You can eat any type of
ice
cream.
I choose handles. I choose it. I have to have that banana cream pie handles. Graham Central Station handles. Okay, if you don't have a handles near you, I am addicted. It's a problem. First step is admitting it.
Has handles taken over your donuts?
Yes.
Problem?
Yeah. I don't, you know, it feels less starchy, less gooey. I feel like it's healthy for me, handles. And I mean, and it's right on my way home, which is a real problem. You can just take a little quick right in 30 feet with that little right. Sometimes get a little twitch. Go to the right. And there I am in front of handles. It's like, wow, that's weird. What am I doing here? Izzy, my 17-year-old, gave it up for Lent. And I was like, this is killing me. Let's go to handles. She's like, I'm not going to handles. It's like, I'm proud of you. She stuck by it.
The thing I keep telling you is handles is from Ohio. And it's one of many incredible Ohio ice creams. Because there's Jenny's ice cream. If you come to Cleveland, there's a local ice cream called Mitchell's. So in a way, I think that it's not... I'd love for you to experience more Ohio ice creams because it might be an Ohio thing.
Oh, I think it is. Ohio. Don't you have McConnell's? Is that Ohio?
I don't know. I've never heard of McConnell's. And then in Cleveland, we have a brand of ice cream called Pierre's, which is what I grew up on. Like, there's so many incredible ice creams out of the state of Ohio.
Oh, it's so good. What about you? You never said.
Oh, gosh. I really put thought into this because I love ice cream. I especially love milkshakes. It's one of my favorite treats is to get a really good chocolate milkshake.
Yeah.
Then I considered how much I use cheese in just everyday cooking or, you know, eating, like Parmesan cheese on spaghetti, cheddar cheese so on a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Gouda. It's so Gouda.
It's hard to, but now that we're talking about this, life is, there's something about ice cream that makes life great. The thing is, I remember being in your kitchen years ago where just sort of out of the blue, you said, I love cheese.
Have I not showed you my oven mitt, which says, I fucking love cheese. That's my oven mitt. I haven't showed you that?
No.
All it says on there, it's an orange oven mitt, and it says, I fucking love cheese.
So you know what? I think this is where I'm landing. How beautiful is it that we live in a world where we can have both? Especially the fact that you and I were lactose tolerant.
That's very optimistic, but we were supposed to choose one. Nice try, Lynn.
Yeah, I know. I'm going ice cream.
All right, not a girl. I knew you would go on that side. Okay, party people. Appreciate you in the Dope Village for all your unwavering support. Please, if you would, take the time to rate, subscribe to the pod, comment on it, pass it on to friends. All of that is such a huge help to us as we seek our never-ending goal of world domination. Thank you as well to our presenting sponsor, Ally, for their support from day one, and to Kate Diaz for our theme music. And as always, kids, remember, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
I'm the comeback queen.